Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's never too early to start thinking about the big game. And this month, Zen Sports, the new sports book in Tennessee, they've launched a brand new sweepstakes for all Tennessee customers. It's the Big Game Sweepstakes, where you can win a grand prize of two tickets to Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans or $10,000 cash. And what's more, Zen Sports is also awarding 50 additional prizes, which include two tickets to any sporting event in Tennessee or $100 cash. If you're asking how to get in on the action, you can earn multiple entries every day by just betting on the Zen Sports app. For every bet you place, you'll earn one entry, and for every dollar you bet, earn an additional entry. If you like parlays, you can earn double the entries on every parlay placed. So what are you waiting for? Sign up now with Zen Sports and use our promo code JeffTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, and you'll receive a 25% odds boost when you sign up with the promo code JeffTN. Start betting with Zen Sports. Download the app today. Zen Sports. Betting just got better. If you got a gambling problem, make sure you call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Jason Smith going to join us here in about 20 minutes or so. Before we do that, let's get into the list. The NBA All-Star Game. All right, DeMichael, we finally solved the All-Star Game. Here it is. You ready for the new plan?
I'm listening.
This is from Sham Sharania of ESPN. The NBA's new four-team tournament-style format for the 2025 All-Star Game is expected to have two semifinal games played up to 40 minutes, with the winners advancing to the final matchup to 25 points, sources told ESPN. God, this is the most Shams written thing ever. It's the first of its kind event, and it's expected to serve as a quick-burst competition that resembles pickup games where the winner moves to the championship round in single elimination play. Sources told ESPN last week that the NBA was in serious discussions to have three All-Star teams of eight players and the winner of the Rising Stars game take part in the All-Star Game tournament. The four teams would face each other in matchups, for instance, Team 1 versus Team 3, Team 2 versus Team 4, and the winner move on to the final round. League officials discussed the new format on Friday with a competition committee consisting of governors, we're still doing that, team executives, players, executives, and union personnel, sources said.
You had to do something.
It's
you had to do something different.
But I guess this is the real question. Are they still going to play hard?
That's what it boils down to. I think the fact that it's short bursts, it's 40 points and then 25, that'll encourage guys to and now guys like Jokic, you know, won't probably be as, you know, like he just didn't fit that All-Star game. Like there was no reason. His style of play just wasn't, you know, wasn't an All-Star game type of vibe. But with this, it's only 40 points. I feel like guys will play a little. I mean, we saw it. We saw some of it with the Rising Stars stuff. Like those guys play
I think the young guys play hard. My whole deal is, I don't feel like the problem is the format.
Yeah, it's if the players are going to.
Correct.
They don't have any extra incentive, I guess.
And what has not made sense to me, it's like, I feel like the best shot to get them to play hard, and maybe with it coming off of an Olympic year, maybe this is, but it just seemed to me doing U.S. versus the world. But I know.
I've always said, too, it has to be something where pride comes into play.
Correct. Like, because you have to motivate these guys to play.
My thing has always been one-on-one tournament. Because, like, but everyone's not, like, I know LeBron hates one-on-ones and things like that, certain guys. But
do we really want to, is that good TV?
No. I mean, it's like watching like the old N1 stuff that was popular.
Great documentary.
Yeah. Once upon
a time. Now you're talking my era.
Yeah.
N1 mixtape, baby, but on ESPN2.
I mean, that's radically different, you know? Like, that's a huge difference. But I think this still, you still have the team basketball aspect. And I think going to 40, you encourage guys to play. Like I know it's eight guys, so you say, hey, look, you play hard for 3 minutes, and you get out of the game, two or three guys come in, whatever the case may be.
But does it really change? Like, in the end, I think the biggest reason they're not playing hard is simply they're just worried about getting hurt.
Yeah, but like, that's when I started sounding like the old guys. Like,
well, I mean, it's always the other, it's like the flip side of the arm. They're still playing basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, you go to practice every day and you run that risk, and players practice harder than they will play in all
the time. We saw with Jared.
Yeah, exactly. But I like it only because it's something different. I couldn't stand the All-Star game no more. Like 200 points, it got, and even, you know, there's certain people who when they say something to a player, I feel like it, and I was watching that, what is it? It's called the young man in the three now, Tyrese Halliburton.
Oh, yeah, whatever. The spiritual successor to JJ's podcast.
Yeah, to the old man in the three.
Yeah.
And he had Barack Obama on there, and Barack Obama looked him in the eye and was like, I'm not watching the All-Star game anymore. And I just saw his face. He's like,
and I wonder, though, it's like, is that where we all are?
Yeah.
Because
it's terrible. Like, you watch it for the couple windmill dunks, reverse dunks. You watch Steph Curry name Liverpool half court three. Then after that, it's nothing else left to watch. It's just like, here's what I hate the most. And I won't say hate, but dislike the most. The All-Star game MVP is just watered down. Winning the MVP is simply who wants it at this point. Because all you got to do is just go up and do a layup.
At times, it almost feels like who they've decided is going to win.
Yeah, because it's who gets the ball the most.
And this is where, it's like the reason why I don't believe format is ending up being the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The All-Star game has also become something entirely different than what it was originally intended. What it was originally intended is, all right, we don't see all these guys on TV. When now we can watch, if you have a desire to watch every NBA game, you can do so. And so you lose that special aspect. But now, as you can attest, when you go to All-Star Weekend, it's almost like it's a business convention.
Yeah.
You got parties every night. It's a lot of brands,
activations. That's what we're going for. Yeah.
And so like, I think part of it is it's like, that's not what it was designed to be. It's like it was just meant to be, all right, it's a break during the season. Everybody kind of does an All-Star game. And we're going to do that. But now it's almost become like a massive business,
like
a weekend for them.
Event, yeah.
And like, I get it. They're taking meetings. They're doing appearances. They're like, they're making money. Like, I understand all that. But it's like, when you add that element, it makes sense to me that like, no one's really showing up for the game.
Yeah.
All right. So we've solved the All-Star game. Awesome. Let's do the tasting menu. All right. So we've got tonight on Amazon Prime, we got the Steelers. Mm. We got the Steelers and the Browns.
That's tricky.
Browns at home.
That's tricky.
So I've been paying attention to the line. A lot of books that I'm seeing do not want to give Cleveland and the hook.
Mm.
They're willing to give you the three, but you got to pay for the hook.
Yeah.
Like, I've been seeing some books that are like only letting you bet, they're letting you bet the Steelers, like, with -140.
Yeah.
So it does tell you that, like, they're thinking this is going to be a game. I just have to see, like, to me, this is the injury report, because if Cleveland trots the same guys out, like, last week against the Saints, they had no chance of being competitive. But overall, though,
as long as they can play defense,
I don't think this is going to be a fun game to watch.
No, it's I'm anti-AFC North guy when it comes to fun. Oh, it's
like, I acknowledge it is a tough physical brand of football that plays.
Yeah. If you're a fan of that.
But for a standalone game, it is not the best.
Yeah.
give me Burrow out there and have everybody turn this thing into a shootout.
Let's get 400-plus yards of offense.
Let's see if Joe can throw for 400, at least three scores, no picks, and still lose again.
70-yard Jamar Chase touchdown.
That was an unreal stat this week Will Brinson put out. Tom Brady for his career.
Yeah.
Games in which he threw for 300 or more yards.
I know where you're going.
Three touchdowns or more with no picks.
I know where you're going.
Lost twice in his career.
You chose lost Aaron Rodgers three. Fan right now. I know where you're going with this. I knew it.
Well, at least you got the Jets. Yeah. at least you can schadenfreude and enjoy the Jets.
I can enjoy that because as the way that the Packers tenure ended.
All right. We also have tonight, we have North Carolina State, Georgia Tech. That's our college game. Then we have, let's see, we got a we're into the sweet spot of college hoops where we're starting to see some familiar arenas. Like this morning, I fired up ESPN and I saw the old College of Charleston floor, and then you see the Coastal Carolina floor, and you're like, all right, that's that Myrtle Beach and Charleston tournaments. But we also have a big one for the Tigers late night. We got to stay up for it. Tigers taking on USF. This is one of those ones where KenPom's showing it should be a 2-point win for the Tigers. Right now, I've been seeing the line is around 2 for USF. It's at the Chase Center.
Slight dogs, man.
Slight dogs. I'm kind of inclined to say
they were dogs against UNLV, and that was another one where I was like,
I'm kind of inclined to be like, all right, let's give me the Tiger money line. Like, give me a little plus sign. The Dons come in. They were preseason 4th.
Yeah.
In the WCC men's preseason poll. I hope everybody's sitting down for this.
Uh-oh.
Gonzaga's favored to win the league.
Breaking news.
They did win. They did get a first place vote, but they're behind Santa Clara in terms of total voting. Gonzaga 1, St. Mary's 2, Santa Clara 3, San Francisco 4, my Waves coming in at 11. I think they might have basically been dead last on every single board. So we have that tonight.
Yeah.
At, I think, is it 9 our time?
9 o'clock,
9 our time. I hate the new format of ESPN where it's so difficult to find the
time.
Correct.
The local time.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right, so afternoon-wise, if you're just got a hankering and you need to throw something up there, we got Baylor and St. John's. That's in the Nassau tournament where Tennessee's playing as well. So Baylor, St. John's.
Watch out for St. John's too, man.
Did you see who's your daddy chant?
Yeah.
Rick half-hearted. Oh, come on. Stop that. Stop that. No.
He didn't want that. He didn't want
that. So we got a top 25 matchup there. We also have Syracuse at Texas playing in the Barclays Center tonight. I think Memphis has played in that one before.
Yeah.
I feel like I've watched Memphis play in the Barclays Center like the week before Thanksgiving. Let's see. We've also got Vols and UVA. Suggested time is 8:30. Obviously, it involves the game before it. Where are you on the Vols this year? Because on the limited watch that I had, I watched them smoke Louisville.
Easy money.
I just find myself going without Dalton Connect. It's like, oh man, we're back to Rick Barnes basketball, which is a very successful, proven formula.
It works until it doesn't.
Man, was it not fun. And last year was fun to watch Tennessee.
Yeah, that was the difference. You saw three-pointers and getting up and down. Yeah, this is more of the older brand, but they got a couple players over there. I mean, Zakai Ziegler is the one, you know.
He's still there?
SEC preseason first team.
Is this his 10th year?
I think this is 5 for him. But, yeah, you know, he had the injury. You know, he had the injury redshirt year and whatnot. But yeah, like, of course with him, I think he's really good.
No, I agree. He's just – he falls into the big man at Kansas that was at Michigan.
Hunter Dickinson.
Hunter Dickinson. Like, how are these guys still playing college basketball?
But have you heard of Chaz Lanier?
I've not. Tell me about Chaz Lanier.
He's this year's Dalton Connect.
But not as fun?
Go back and watch the Louisville game and just, I mean, the individual buckets, the three-point shooting. He transferred, I want to say it was North Florida that he was at. And, yeah, it was North Florida. And at North Florida in his last season, 19 points a game over there. Right now with Tennessee, he's at about 14 points a game, shooting 50% from the three-point line. Last season, led the nation in three-point shooting last year, 44% on 3.3 makes. So we're not talking, you know, a little make here, a little make there. 61% effective field goal percentage. 14, by the way, for people who don't, 14 points per game in Rick Barnes' system.
Yeah, that's
add like 4 points on top.
Adjusted for inflation, he's averaging 25.
Yeah.
That's so, what also made Kinect's like numbers just so much more insane. It's like,
yeah,
it was on a Rick Barnes team, but obviously they changed their style of play.
Chaz Lanier is not Dalton Kinect exactly, but the similarities
whiffs.
It's
so when you said North Florida, all I'm taken back to is my senior year. We went and played.
Got a North Florida story.
We played Nice the year after Tebow. So it's like Tebow left, and we're thinking, all right, like the film that we were watching was with Tebow. Like, we don't have to worry about that. He's not there. And they had two DBs that had the dreads, and my buddy Michael, who's our quarterback, came to the sidelines like, I did not know they had the guys from the Matrix at corner because like they were closing so hard. They had a tackle that played at Florida. The only thing that was good that kept the game marginally close in the first half was their quarterback kept running 80-yard touchdowns, but they'd get called back for a holding, and so he had to go into the halftime. He had to go to the locker room for cramps.
He'd be tired,
Yeah, so it was cramping so bad from running so much on plays that didn't count. That was basically the end of our run at MUS was we went to Nice and got absolutely curb stomped. We like left it because our coach was big on like we didn't do like overnight trips. So like we chartered like an Amtrak? No.
Oh.
Airtran.
We chartered
an Airtran flight with like our whole team, our parents. We like got up at like 2:30 in the morning, flew down to Jacksonville. We're all just like so groggy and whatnot.
Yeah.
And those guys just beat the ever living piss out of us. It was just it just made us not want to play football anymore. So that was my only experience with North Florida. So we were like at a soccer stadium too, because like it was like a D2. I don't even know if they had football. Like we were playing like a soccer stadium.
Sounds like some real Florida stuff going on.
Not a lot of fun. All right, so we've got Tigers and USF. I right now I'm just leaning towards I'm taking the Tigers. It's at the Chase Center. You can watch that on the U tonight. All right, Friday night football, which is weird. I can now watch it again now that the Owls are done.
<Your eyes don't-
laughs> now that we lost to, I'd say a solid group of five team in Chattanooga Baylor.
Group of five.
Yeah, they've got like 11 D1 guys. Like that was something. Their first like. It was one of those things where I don't even think they had a negative play until like the second quarter when they were on offense. Like it was awful. They are loaded. All right, so we got tomorrow Temple at UTSA. Woo!
Close your eyes, man.
Purdue at Michigan State. That's thankfully put that on Friday night, and then UNLV San Jose State. San Jose State's been low key live.
That's watchable.
UNLV's gotten into the playoff rankings. All right, but let's get to Saturday. All right, so. All Tennessee fans at 11 a.m. are going to have eyes on Indiana, Ohio State.
Yep.
So the scenarios that the Vols need, you need Ohio State to railroad Indiana.
I mean, just beat the socks off of them.
You got to lock arms with the Gators and have Florida beat Ole Miss.
Somehow, some way.
And then I think the other outside one that you could root for, Auburn beating A&M, and then A&M beating Texas. Because that would eliminate A&M, but I think that also puts Texas at 10-2, and then you're having to compare Texas's resume to Tennessee's resume, and I'd rather have Tennessee's resume.
Ooh, I didn't think about that one. I haven't even put Texas in that.
Correct.
Yeah, it's all been with the other one.
Because what most people are thinking is, all right.
Texas is.
Because that way you eliminate A&M too.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that might actually bump. No, I think that'd be we'd get an Alabama Georgia maybe rematch
in
the SEC championship. I think we get
Alabama's pretty much
Alabama like basically in. If they went out like
they'll be in.
I think that it's pretty much. And then if Texas obviously wins out, they're in.
Yeah.
If Texas loses to A&M, then it's Alabama and it feels like what we're shaping up to is the winner of Texas A&M goes, and then if Alabama wins out, they go. And then if Alabama doesn't win out, then Georgia pops in. And
what
then,
about if Bama loses an SEC championship? Because the way the committee was...
They are putting Alabama on a different tier.
That's
because I felt like when you saw... Because last week they had
Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss tiered together.
They're just carrying them with that Georgia win, man.
But they bumped up Bama over that pack.
Yep.
And what I've never understood is I feel like Alabama gets a benefit of the doubt from the committee that Georgia never really did. And
That win at LSU is holding a little bit more weight than I think it should. And, you know, with Ole Miss, I guess with them beating Ole Miss, LSU beating Ole Miss in Death Valley or whatever the case may be, you know, that added a little merit to it. But LSU's kind of falling off a cliff right now. And it's kind of, you know, and as a Tennessee guy, I can admit it's the same way with them beating Oklahoma early in the season. Yeah. You beat Oklahoma, then Oklahoma was ranked, and there was a little hype behind it.
Well, and then, like, the weird thing is, like, the reverse of that is Ole Miss is winning, and South Carolina is looking a lot better.
It looks better, yep.
South Carolina's been live in every single game except for that game, and now it's possible South Carolina, it can go to Clemson, win next week, be 9-3, and then all of a sudden, like, that's a top 15 win.
Yeah.
All right, so also in the early window, we've got Ole Miss at Florida. We also have... congratulations, Wake gets to go play Miami. Then we have our SEC de facto bye games. It's the new SoCon Saturday. We got UMass at Georgia with a 42-point line. Mm. UTEP at Tennessee, 41.5-point line. And let's see. Okay, so I'm going TV1, obviously. Indiana, Ohio State. TV2, Ole Miss, Florida. Oh, God, it gets gross after that.
It gets real after that. I mean, I might tune in for Miami Wake Forest a little bit.
Yeah, just to see if Cam's fun at least to watch. You also have Illinois Rutgers, which is the weird like 1-point line for Illinois. Iowa at Maryland, as Eric mentioned previously. North Carolina, do they have that coaches coming back bump at BC? You got that in the early window. All right, here's the only thing I'm interested about Indiana, Ohio State. Number one, Ohio State with more injuries on the offensive line.
Yeah.
There's a part.
It already wasn't a great offensive line.
Correct. Yeah. They've not played well at the minimum. I cannot get the vision out of my head, though, of what Michigan did to Indiana the entire second half, where they could not block, and I can't get that out of my head.
There is some fraud to them.
Look
at the schedule.
I do think their defense is tough, and I think they're a tough team. But also, I wonder in the back of my mind, if you're Ryan Day and you know Indiana can't move the football and you're up, let's say you're up 20-6.
Okay.
And you know there's no prayer of Indiana moving the football. Are you really pushing pedal?
Style points here?
Are you really pushing pedal to the metal? You're
trying to get some style points?
Are you? Or are you thinking, you know?
I mean.
Because if I, let's say. That's like a respectable loss. Like Indiana would lose the spread right now. I think it's 12. So basically like within the margin of error.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, if I'm Ohio State, it's like, you know what? I'm keeping Indiana in this thing. That's one less SEC team I got to see. And then I'm saving all of my points for next week.
Oh, you're thinking full steps ahead.
I'm thinking like, because I don't think players think like that, but I do think.
Coaches.
I think Ryan Day could be like, all right, boys, let's run the ball here.
Yeah, we're not trying to see Georgia in the first round.
Let's keep Indiana in this thing because we know that we can play them 100 times and beat them 100 times.
Yeah.
Let's not introduce a little chaos.
That's some next level stuff right
there.
That's
something I've wondered about. All right, let's get to the afternoon slate. We have Kentucky at Texas. Kentucky 4-0 against the spread as a dog.
Yeah.
I believe that I only have one win in that. We got BYU at Arizona State. That's a tough one for the degenerates out there because those have been two teams that have been outstanding to bet on all year. Fun fact, Arizona State is a favorite, 5-0 against the spread, but we might have the unstoppable force versus the immovable object. BYU, as a dog this year, 4-0 outright, and they've covered by 19 points. Arizona State covering as a favorite by 10.9 points, which when you're favored, that's even more insane. So
something's got to give.
We got that one. Colorado has to go to Kansas. Kansas has been kind of playing this spoiler, trying to kill
the
dreams.
They're only slight favorites over Kansas. Yeah.
Colorado's also been one of those teams, though, that they've just beaten the number, like hammered the number
almost
each and every week.
Yeah.
Let's see. Anything else of interest in that afternoon slate?
I mean, Penn State at Minnesota. Cold weather game.
Minnesota's been completely respectable.
Yeah.
And they will make that game ugly.
That's what I'm thinking.
They can muck that up. And if you told me
that's a top, I think they're 12th right now in points allowed. And you know Penn State's up there too.
That's
one of those games where a drop punt or
correct
a fumble here.
One possession swings that game.
Yep.
You can talk me into
I'm watching it.
You can talk me into close game, maybe not a great watch. Because Minnesota games are usually never a great watch.
Old school Big Ten football.
But it's 3 yards in a cloud of dust from the shotgun. I'm with you. All right, night slate. We got Alabama-Oklahoma, a game that looks good on paper. We have A&M at Auburn. That's another one of those, what the hell is this line? But that's shaping up to be game of the year for me. I'm taking A&M and looking to raise limits.
Mm-hmm.
Also in that window, we have Vandy at LSU. Can Diego kill another giant?
Yeah.
How much does LSU care? Can LSU stop a mobile quarterback? Is Vanderbilt healthy enough to make that game frisky? So we've got those games. And then we got three night ones. So we got USC at UCLA. Hopefully they're doing the color-on-color jerseys.
Yeah.
That's the best visual. We can have Air Force at Nevada, Colorado State at Fresno State.
I got one more for you I really like.
All right, what's that?
Army Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah. I am laying all of those points.
Really?
Fun fact. Do you know how many times this millennium Army has covered against Notre Dame? Zero.
Yeah.
Do you know how many teams have a worse strength of schedule than Army?
Oh, yeah, it's been easy.
There's
easy
one. Pickings. Liberty, who we always mock for having
an easy
strength
schedule.
Of schedule.
Yep.
I think this is the Navy game.
What is it, 14? 14 and a half.
14 and a half. I've been advised by my co-host tomorrow that
you might have convinced me, man.
I
saw on one of the sports books earlier. I forget which one it was, but it was like 93% was on
everyone hammers Army. It's in Yankee Stadium too, though.
Yeah, it's in Yankee Stadium.
So baseball game unders also. I like to take the under in places that played a baseball stadium. You're right. That's another one that we can think about on Saturday night. And then, so that closes out the weekend.
Solid. I feel like every time window, you got at least a couple games.
You got something to watch in just about every window.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. Let's talk Tigers, Dons, USF. For those that need to know, that is San Francisco's nickname. The other USF, the Tigers will take them on tonight on ESPNU at 9 p.m. Let's talk about it with Jason Smith next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company. 92.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
John FM, ESPN. Jason Smith is the co-host of the Jason and John Show, weekdays right here on 92.9 FM ESPN from 11 until 2 on Twitter, on X, at JasonSmith929. Jason, how are we framing tonight's Tiger game at the Chase Center, taking on the Dons of USF?
Best test of the season so far, you could frame it that way. Dons with a win over Boise State, probably certainly that. I mean, Missouri's going to be bottom of the barrel. In the SEC, UNLV was picked fifth, I think, in the Mountain West. Ohio's off that bad start, even though they're supposed to win the MAC. So probably best test, even though they were, I think the Dons were just picked third or fourth. I think fourth in their
league. They did get one first-place vote.
There you go. I mean, they look like they're going to be a top 50 team at KenPom, or at least around that. You hope they can stay there for the rest of the year. So good test, best test. But also, I think also I would frame it this way, Jeffrey, to answer your question, a second way you could do it. Nice sort of get ready game for Maui in this sense. I like that Penny scheduled this game, that it's part of this whole trip, because if you look at UConn, which to this point, 17 game winning streak, longest in the nation, but the four games they played this year have been against cupcakes. they, I think, will, when they tip off Monday against Memphis, have not have played since Tuesday. I like the fact that Penny's got a game 3 or 4 days before he takes on UConn, that it's a good opponent. And what's going to be essentially, this is essentially a home game. They call it semi-home for San Francisco, obviously playing in the Chase Center, but it's a home game for them. So in many ways, it's a great test and a good test as you get set for the defending champs on Monday in UConn. I like that they're playing a game 3-4 days ahead of that opener in Maui, whereas maybe you catch UConn, caught a little rusty, having not played anyone yet this season. Their schedule obviously turns up. They've got Gonzaga later on. But and coming off a little bit of a layoff, having not played since last Tuesday.
Yeah, I think every team they've played so far in KenPom's in the
300s. All 300s.
Now, I will give them credit.
He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And if you look at that three-game stretch, Jeffrey, what is it? Baylor is in there. Gonzaga is in there. I want to say Texas. Like, they're gonna be tested before they hit Big East play. Hurley knows what he's doing. So the fact that they've played, four cupcakes, no indication, obviously, of the quality of team that you're going to, that's going to be ready to play against Memphis on Monday. I think that game will tip off at 1:30 our time from Maui.
Yeah, he snuck in when they get back from Maui, a Maryland Eastern Shore game. That's another 360. And then it's Baylor,
one more.
Texas, yep. Gonzaga, and then they start, I always forget, they start Big East play in the middle of December.
Early, right. Right, and I mean, in that every year, I know for them, obviously they've been the champs, but I mean, Big East plays is a grueling schedule. They start early, so I realize we're talking about UConn. I'm excited about Maui and the potential for the Tigers out there. You do have a chance to stop the long. Of course, it's the longest winning streak in the country. They won the national championship last year, so the Tigers got a chance to do that. But it'd be nice to see them take care of business. It's going to be tougher, Jeffrey, because I mean, this. You were talking about it earlier today. Dons are a deeper team. And Memphis, for the most part this season, has relied on six guys. Obviously, P.J. Haggerty right there at the top of that. Can that get you through again? Or with all these bodies, can you stay out of, important foul trouble, key guys getting in foul trouble? Because one thing about Memphis right now is they are not deep. This is clearly one of Penny Hardaway's in terms of shortest rotations. I still think asking six guys to carry the load for 31 regular season games is a lot. So hopefully – in addition to not winning this game, looking solid, you're working in a Barack Okogie. You're finding PJ Carter some form of comfortability, because I think you're going to need those guys at some point so that you can take some of this heavy burden off of your top six.
Do you make anything so far, sample size being the issue? Do you make anything of lackluster first halves versus strong second halves? Because even if you want to go back to the Alabama game, and like I was someone who netted out that I felt like in general, all right, it was kind of a fake comeback because Alabama had put the game away. But the same trend that we've been seeing all year, which is this team does not play its best basketball in the first half, but they played really good second halves, like that can carry over, and like you can say that applies. Do you make anything of that right now?
Well, I mean, you can't ignore it because literally the first three games they've scored 50-plus points in every one of their second halves. And it's not just that, you're right. Overall, I think you've seen a better effort. So whatever Penny Hardaway is saying, but more importantly, clearly those adjustments. And he talked about that at the half of the Missouri game when I think all of us were wondering, my gosh, what is this season going to be? I mean, that's how bad that first half was against Missouri. He goes and tells Gass and Trey Draper, we got this. We're going to shut them down the second half, and did. So clearly the adjustments at halftime are working. And what you would like to see, and I saw, Ohio was a little bit of a roller coaster. They probably stayed in the game a little bit too long, but it was an improved first half from what you'd had the first two, I would say, still. And so, you'd like to see that balance out, Jeffrey, but what you really, maybe a strength of this team so far is their ability to make adjustments. Penny, obviously, it's him. The buck stops with him on these adjustments. But, there were some concerns when you changed your entire staff. For the most part, albeit Jermaine Johnson, some of those guys had been around, but there were concerns about how much, how ready they would be. Is this, you're moving on from Rick Stansbury, who'd helped you the last couple of years. What's that going to look like? And if they've played any part, certainly, in helping with his adjustments, then I think that's obviously kudos to them as well. Right now, that seems to be a characteristic of this team. A great second half, especially offensively. I don't think, Jeffrey, I mean, being number one in the country in three-point shooting, we probably need to continue to say it right now, because that's something that I don't know we've ever had a Memphis Grizzlies or Tigers team That
I'm not sure that's going to be sustainable.
Any point of any season that's ever shot the ball this well, and so I'm not holding my breath for that to hold up. But they have shown, and I'll go back to Trey Draper because clearly he's been in there on practices this year much more so than we have in their setups for the ESPN Plus games. He was saying in this last game, man, PJ Haggerty can shoot the ball better than y'all think. And I'm sitting there when he said it and said, brother, like at Tulsa, he couldn't shoot it. Like it's the one hole in his game, and there he's able to knock down threes in that last game against Ohio. So maybe they are better shooters than we saw certainly in those two preseason games. I hesitate to say it could be this good all year long. But listen, what they've shown is they can knock it down, and maybe it's going to be like Penny says. When they got to make them, they will. I think for the most part, you have to be happy with the way they've shot the ball. Even if it regresses back, and it should, you still feel pretty confident about at least this team's ability to knock some down, the ones it needs to. I think it finished 8 of 20 against Missouri, so even finished 40% in that game. They've been good from there, surprisingly good. It's another one of the things that the Dons do very well is guard the three-point line, so be interested to see how that comes out tonight.
What's going on, Jason? This is DeMichael.
What's up, brother, man? You're doing a good job, brother. I was curious, man. I was hoping I was going to get a chance to talk to you.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I'm looking at this game, right, and to me, with Memphis, when you go on the road, college basketball, I'm always looking at guard play. We've seen these guards. They're probably the strength of the team right now. How much do you trust these guards? Sounds like you're kind of high on PJ. How much do you trust these guards on the road in this type of environment?
A lot. Tyrese Hunter's been, on deep runs into the NCAA tournament. And one of the things, DeMichael, I think one of the questions we had coming in this season, especially because Penny mentioned how for most of the summer, Haggerty on one team and Tyrese Hunter on another team went against each other, right, as the point guards, as the ball handlers for both teams. But what you knew is come season, they were going to have to figure out how to play together in the same backcourt. And so very early on, even going to that Missouri game, you're wondering, okay, well, is Tyrese Hunter thinking he's going to run this thing and be number one in the pecking order? Is that going to be P.J. Haggerty, whose usage rate was through the roof last year at Tulsa? How are they going to figure that out on the fly against a pretty difficult non-conference schedule? It was one of the question marks we had going in. And then I keep going back to it because whether it was Parth, whether it was Jason Munns, everybody talked after that Missouri game about Tyrese Hunter saying, PJ, you got to lead us. And I've made this point to Jeffrey and to Michael. I think you probably agree with me. When you've got that guy who's been through the wars, in this case your point guard, saying, okay, we've got to get behind PJ, the sophomore in this case, that organic sort of work, pecking order working itself out, Tyrese recognizing, man, the best thing for this team is for us to get behind the score and let it all fall from there. I think that's a great sign, the fact that you're not, you already sort of have that figured out here early. So, yes, it leads me to whether I'm, it doesn't look like it's going to be a fight in the backcourt for who should be the guy. We didn't know what it was going to look like until they got out on the floor. We know last year's team had chemistry issues, who's the man, who's not. So to see that sort of early, at least early sign look good, yeah, DeMichael, I do. I think you're absolutely right. This is the strength of this team right now because you look in that front court, and after Dane Danger and Musa, and I realize Nicholas Jourdain could play a little bit of everywhere, but he's including that front court, it gets really thin. And certainly with Tyreek Smith having moved on, you lack depth there. So right now, yeah, from a production standpoint, but also from a man, chemistry is going to be important to a standpoint. I trust Tyrese Hunter. I trust P.J. Haggerty. I definitely trust this backcourt.
All right. I've got a Packers fan in DeMichael. And I got a Bears fan.
I got a Bears fan in Jason. The only thing I don't like about DeMichael, man, he owns me. This man, Matt LaFleur, is 11-0 against the Chicago Bears. So, you know what's crazy, Jason? I dislike Green Bay fans. I really do.
You know what's crazy? I wasn't even sweating when y'all were about to –
I was about to ask, Jason, did you have any faith that was going in?
That's the damn shame of it is that Green Bay fans knew the outcome already, even as the Bears possessed, even as Caleb Williams played his best game of the year. Because you know what we got? We got a damn fool coaching us and Matt Eberflus. And
he's got new hair, though.
And because that's what he's concerned about, Jeffrey, him and his wife, is how handsome he is in that beard. He saw it all on the hard knocks. And instead of running another play.
Oh, when they were running that time down, I was like, yes.
30 seconds left, bro. He's acting like we're kicking a 28-yarder. We're kicking a 46-yarder. Santos is like 76% career, 45-plus. This dude's acting like
I'm also pretty sure the goalposts were moving because it was so windy that day. Like, the goalposts were shaking.
He has cost us games, including a chance to end that 10-game winning streak with Green Bay against us. Washington with the Hail Mary. He had three timeouts. Tyreek Stevenson's over there acting a fool on the play before the Hail Mary. He's supposed to be a DC, and he still doesn't stop it and get his team straightened out for the Hail Mary. He has cost us games. If he's not fired, I'm serious. I'm putting my Bear fandom, it goes all the way back to 85, 9 years old, I'm putting it down. If the guy is not fired at the end of the season, it would just represent a total mismanagement and more reason for me to leave this this frustrating franchise. Now, congrats on the win, DeMichael. You ain't lying, I'm sure, when you say you were never sweating on Sunday. I believe it, brother.
I just kept telling myself, like, man, we don't lose to this team.
Don't lose the Bears. LaFleur is 11-0. I used to dog that man. He has complete ownership over my franchise in the same way that Aaron Rodgers did. And that's the credit to him. He's done it post-Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Like, he's done it with Jordan Love now. So I can't do anything but tip my cap to him.
Well, hopefully you beat the Vikings this week.
NFC. No, I think you're like me. Like, you just want to keep losing now. Like, you don't need any reason to bring Eberflus back. Like,
you got your quarterback.
Guys, I have the best. Eberflus is a walking tank job. He's losing games on his own. So I'm like DeMichael. I need to stop sweating. It's going to take care of himself because this fool is literally losing games from the head coaching position. So it's incredible.
All right, my man. Be good.
Y'all take care.
Jason Smith of the Jason and John Show. We come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 99 FM, ESPN.
All right, DeMichael, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. I think we got to go to our boy Will Levis.
Will Levis.
He was asked today, or I guess maybe it was yesterday, if he's seen any improvement since returning from injury. I haven't thrown the ball underhanded or chest past it, so that's an improvement. This is where I really wish Will Levis' style of play didn't bother me, because I do find myself liking him.
Yeah,
like, he's got the self-awareness, the whole Mayo thing. Like, I can't stand to watch him play quarterback. Yeah. Thanks for hanging in here, buddy. Let's try to do it some more. I want to thank Eric and Jason for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast show after the program ends. For Dennis, for DeMichael, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.